Yankees stave off elimination. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. But for how long? And if the Yankees win tonight, will you start believing that maybe history could be on the doorstep? And I just think, Perloff, that if the Yankees do find a way to win tonight, they have their ace Gerrit Cole on the mound against Jack Flaherty of the Dodgers, then does the pressure now just switch completely to L.A.?
Oh, you know,
the series goes back to L.A., and will the Dodgers perhaps start to get a little tight and maybe we get a better series?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think it's if they win tonight, and especially if they win the next game after that, then the pressure's really...
Yeah, thank you.
I'm just saying if they win... I have to defer to the numbers in history. It's never been done in the World Series. It's been done once in playoff history, right?
The There's LCS. Only
been it was the Red Sox, Yankees. So I just think that I just can't see it. I can't believe it that there's any way that this Dodgers team blows three more games. It was a bullpen game last night, and Dave Roberts, the manager, called off the dogs at the end and put in his worst bullpen players. So I just think that they're still safe. But you do, I'll admit, maybe a glimmer of doubt, but it's still generally like 175 years or whatever it is of baseball history, I think we'll win out.
You're probably right, and I think the Dodgers still have it. But if the Yankees do win tonight, I just wonder if they start to get tight. I mean, it's not like the Dodgers, I know they won in 2020, but that title is just not real in my mind because of the circumstances around it. They did the best that they could, you know, but it's just not, it wasn't a real season, not their fault. And the Dodgers aren't exactly known under Dave Roberts for being this team that is able to overcome all obstacles and odds. So I wonder if they start to get a little bit tight if the Yankees can win tonight. And, you know, you
I mean,
had...
yeah, but the Yankees are the same. Are they a team that's known for overcoming obstacles?
Absolutely not. They're major front runners. Like, no, definitely not. But the other part, too, is you saw at least Aaron Judge, who has been the biggest goat in a bad way for the Yankees in the postseason. He did actually get a hit last night, and he did maybe get the bat on the ball. Yes, the relievers were not good, but does that kickstart something where you could wake up a sleeping giant?
Well, you saw the game before, he had like what looked like a home run swing. It just hit the end of the bat. So you could see him maybe seeing the baseball better. That's a big concern for the Dodgers. But then again, you know, the Dodgers still have plenty of power. I mean,
totally.
Is this Yankees bullpen going to be able? The Yankees bullpen has had a surprising amount of success against the Dodgers. Will the Dodgers step up against them? So it just feels like they're equal in firepower.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you.
No,
the only four earned runs that the Yankees bullpen has given up was the Nestor Cortez grand slam to Freddie Freeman in extra innings in game one. And to be honest, that's not a spot where Nestor Cortez probably should have been pitching anyway.
Yeah.
But so the bullpen has really been doing their job. Here's one thing, and I just beg of us as people, citizens, sports fans, society, I beg of us. If somehow the Yankees turn this around and make it into a series, heaven forbid, say they win the thing.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Please do not make it about these two clowns who interfered with Mookie Betts last night in the first inning in a way that was so colossally embarrassing for every Yankee fan should be ashamed to be associated with two dudes like this. The guy, one of the guys, they're sitting in foul territory. They're in the front row. Mookie Betts is going over to catch a foul ball off of Gleyber Torres' bat. And this dude literally takes Betts' glove where the ball's been caught, pries it open, and rips the ball out while his idiot friend is holding on to Betts' wrist. The guy's a fetus. They get promptly removed from the stadium, but because of season ticket holders, they're letting him back in the game tonight. Do not make this the turning point, please.
I didn't even think of it being the turning point, but now that's all I can think about.
I'm begging, I'm pleading, not these two jabronis.
You shouldn't have even said that. Now this is the series that the fans turned around. Much like the Texas-Georgia game, except actually Texas lost the game, fans can win you games. That is the lesson that we're getting out of this.
This is the quote that the guy who was prying the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove, this is what he said to ESPN. If it's in our area, we're going to D him up. You sound like a D because you're not playing, dude. You're not playing. Like, what is wrong with us? And not even, I'm not going to say us. Most 99.999% of fans would never do something like this. What's wrong with you?
That is a funny quote. We're going to D him up.
Going to D him up. What do you, who do you think you are? Kayvon Thibodeau? Get out of here. Think Quinnen Williams?
Playing more defense than that Bears that Bears guy who wasn't paying attention to the Hail Mary.
Tyreek Stevenson. This poor dude's apologizing left and right. He'll never live this down. By the way, he said he wasn't jawing with the fans. He said he was celebrating with the Bears fans who were there.
Let me ask you a question. The Yankees, are you sure they're letting this guy? This boggles my mind. You told me this morning. They're letting these guys back into the stadium?
Bogus, you saw the same thing I did, or no?
I saw the report saying that they said that the Yankees told them that they would be let back in. Mm-hmm. The Yankees made no comment on whether that was true. So that suggests that.
I'm not doubting you guys. I'm not doubting you guys in any way. I'm just saying this blows my mind. Like, I can't compute that the Yankees would actually let those fans back in. That would be one of the most egregious oversteps a team has ever had. I mean, just they grab Mookie Betts' arm. If they're let back in the stadium and the camera finds them, then I think the Yankees look like a total joke.
Absolutely. And is the camera going to find them? They're in the first row.
You don't need the facial recognition for this one.
I mean, the Yankees are proud. I mean, they're the Yankees. They can't do this. They can't let these guys back in sitting in the front row on camera. That would be way over the top.
Is there any chance that there could, I don't think it is, but any chance there could be a moment where, like, before the game, Mookie Betts goes over and they shake hands and make it a try to make this something more savory than it is?
EJ, the guy says if it's in our area, we're going to D him up.
I know. It's crazy.
Well, Mookie wasn't hurt, so I don't know that we need this feel good Armando Galarraga moment. I don't think we need, America doesn't need a reconciliation of Mookie Betts and these two idiots. That's not like what we're waiting for.
Sit down, have a beer together. Actually, please don't have a beer together because you probably had too many, but I don't know
water.
What you're drinking. But anyway, this is silly to me that these guys, please, let's not make them the turning point.
How does the Yankees not, when ESPN asks them if they're coming back, just say, definitely not?
Because we're all going to see them in the front row.
That's crazy.
You know what can happen? So it's the day before Halloween. So it's Halloween time. And what if they come in with a costume? Or like Bobby Valentine back in the day tried to sneak in with a fake mustache in after he'd been ejected from a game.
Well, is it like Madison Square Garden where they have this quite controversial facial recognition?
You can get around that if you're wearing a mask.
Do you think those guys get booed if they're there?
No, I think they're getting cheered.
Wow.
We're not functioning right now as a society.
Yeah, no.
Breaking rules is just, it's like applauded. I don't know.
Are you guys say that? But come on. Again, once in a while, that again feels like a bit of recency bias to say, like, because of this incident, fans are out of control. Like,
oh, just add it to the list. No, not fans. I think God. I'm saying people. I'm not anti-fan. I'm anti these two. Anyway, it's Wednesday.
Bye. Jeffrey Mayer is still quite popular in this town.
At least that was a homer. This is a foul ball.
You're saying it was a waste of effort.
Jeffrey Mayer didn't attack the Oriole right fielder.
Yeah.
He just reached over the fence. The other same thing.
Jeffrey Mayer was 12 years old.
Yeah. As well.
If he had attacked him, he'd be a folk hero.
Or if the ump made the right call.
By the way, he attacked our bell. That's only ending one way.
Oof. Yeah, no, Tony Tarasco was incensed, but he was not violent. Okay, it's Wednesday. It's great debate time.
The Great Debate Series.
I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, what are Maggie and Perloff going to do for their great debate, which we do every Wednesday? We said we're going to rip something from the headlines. They're probably going to do the biggest fan interactions of all time. But we're not going to do that.
Ooh, that would have been fun. I never thought of that.
Next week?
Hit that next week. No. When we say it's rip from the headlines.
Great debate Thursday.
2.0.
How about Morgana the Kissing Bandit when she came out and kissed Nolan Ryan? Is that count in this?
Save it. No, we're not going to do that this week. We're going to
How's the San Diego chicken, by the way?
Slandered by me. When I said he got me too'd, he definitely didn't. Definitely did not. I was wrong about that 1,000 different ways.
Yeah, were you allowed back on the show the next day, or we ban you? I don't remember.
By the way, I never said it about the guy inside the costume. I thought the just mascot shtick was now, like, inappropriate.
Did you think that he did something inappropriate with a female chicken mascot?
Yeah, and he was the boss, and it was a power imbalance, and therefore,
they were,
Me
were
Too.
Were they wearing their costumes when this Me Too incident happened? Like, sometimes some of these mascots are trying to be funny, and they might touch the wrong parts of the other mascots.
That's what I thought happened. It turned out it was not the case, and I apologize profusely. Anyway, today's great debate, ripped from the headlines. By that, we mean Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson tapped out, took himself out of the game last week. Close game. Colts are playing the Texans, and he took himself out of the game because, quote, "I was mad tired." End quote. So we're asking you today, what were the worst tap outs of all time? You know what we're talking about. It doesn't have to be a boxing or MMA. We're talking about people who took themselves out on their own volition. And what were the worst examples? Perloff, would you like to get us started?
Yeah, I'll start. Okay, so worst tap out, the one that jumps out to me is 1994 playoffs. Chicago Bulls, remember, they did not have Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen became the 1A star of the team. Won 55 games, was pretty good. Advanced to the playoffs, win the first round, and face the Knicks. Huge second-round matchup. They are in a game, 1.8 seconds left. It's a tie game at 102. Scottie Pippen, you know, he'd probably get the ball. Phil Jackson huddles the team, calls for a play for Tony Kukoc. So Scottie Pippen is not happy. He's so unhappy that he will not check into the game. Some more detail of this. According to Andrea Kramer, our buddy, who was an ESPN reporter at the time, said that other teammates were trying to convince him to get back in the game. Some, they were saying, come on, what are you doing? Get in here. And Pippen started cursing and saying, I'm tired of this, and did not get back in the game with 1.8 seconds. Just refused, sat on the bench, and watched Kukoc hit the game-winning shot. Bulls eventually lost the series, but that's not the point. Scottie Pippen, this is, stands with him forever. And unfortunately, when you think of the lore of the Bulls, everything's positive about Jordan, but this one sticks with Scottie Pippen. It was a huge mistake and one that he will never outlive.
The Bulls called a timeout and designed a play for Tony Kukoc. Scottie Pippen refused to go back in. Instead, he went to the end of the bench, necessitating a second timeout. Pippen and Jackson got into a cussing match, but Scottie still refused to budge.
It wasn't pretty much Phil taking me out of the game. It was like, we exchanged words and I just took a seat.
That was not good.
Was that 1904 or 1994?
Yeah, it just sounded, I don't know.
The Hindenburg was going down behind them.
The Chicago Bulls are playing the New York Knickerbockers. Tony Kukoc dribbles to the left.
Barry Sloan matched up against Clyde Frazier.
Yes.
You said that the fact that they lost the series doesn't matter. I think that's a huge part of it.
But they won that game. Kukoc hit the shot.
No, I know, but the fact that they lost the series, I think, does make it stick a little bit.
So you're saying there was a carryover from that. I think the fact that they won the game plays into it somehow. I don't know. It makes him look worse because Kukoc hit the shot. Like, Phil Jackson did call a good play.
All right, we're doing the worst tap outs of all time in sports. That's our great debate today. I'll go next, and we're going to keep it quick here. We got to roll. Roberto Duran. Roberto Duran is not remembered for being one of the great boxers of all time. The late Bert Sugar called him one of the top 10 boxers ever. He was a champion in multiple different weight classes, and he was a pride of Panama. He beat an undefeated Sugar Ray Leonard to set up a rematch in which Sugar Ray Leonard was soundly beating Duran. And in the eighth inning, Leonard is showboating and kind of making a bit of a, I don't say a mockery of the fight, but that led to a famous incident where Duran allegedly said, "No mas."
What? Duran has quit! Roberto Duran has quit! There can be no other explanation. Pandemonium in the ring!
Howard Cosell, obviously, and that we're asking the worst tap outs of all time. Now, Duran said that he actually said, "I don't want to fight this clown anymore. I don't want to box him anymore." And said, "No sigo, I won't go on." Not no mas, but listen, the legend is the legend. And multiple people said they heard him say, no more, no mas. Roberto Duran is the worst tap out of all time. All right, EJ, go quick.
All right, so whenever something becomes a meme, that's the guy I want to go with. So everyone now has seen the image of Antonio Brown in the Jets end zone, no shirt on, no gloves, peace not the fans. Him leaving mid-game in a Jets game versus the Buccaneers is my pick for worst tap out.
Antonio Brown, that's Antonio Brown without his uniform, we are told, without his jersey, and running out of the field. I don't know if that could have been a penalty.
Guys, very odd situation. Antonio Brown boiled over, very upset on the sideline, took off his shoulder pads. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard trying to convince him to keep them on. Obviously, they were unable to do so. He tossed his shoulder pads, stripped off his shirt and glove, threw those into the crowd, then ran across the field while the teams were still on the field, giving the crowd a peace out sign.
I would say it was surprising. I would say it was surprising, but it is Antonio Brown. But it is still the absolute worst case of a tap out. He didn't get enough receptions to meet a guarantee that he wanted, and that was really annoying him. And he decided, I'm done, and left. And that was the last we've seen Antonio Brown on a football field.
Remember Tom Brady had to lead him on this last ditch second drive to even get out of there with a win?
Yeah, I know. They were losing to the Jets, which probably was the reason why he wanted out, too. He's like, I can't get catches and we're losing to Zach Wilson. No, can't do it anymore.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking about the worst tap outs of all time, inspired by Anthony Richardson taking himself out of a Colts-Texans game on Sunday. Ryan Botcher, who do you have, sir?
Real quick, 2020 UN Cespedes during the COVID season. Mets were down in Atlanta, and one day he just doesn't show up. It's a Sunday in Atlanta. They're like, okay, we're Cespedes. He's in the lineup. Can't find him. Team sends security to the hotel. He's MIA. Report after he said he just doesn't want to play baseball anymore because of COVID. But he also stole the team's smoke machine so they would celebrate in the locker room. So he went MIA, didn't tell the team, quit on the team, and stole their fun in the locker room.
He quit, and he stole their fog machine. Epic.
So did he ever play again? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't think he ever played a single game in MLB since.
He really tapped out good.
He tried out, but never made an MLB roster.
Ultimate quit.
I had no idea.
He also somebody who, fun fact, got hurt because he fell into
a wild boar.
Yep. Fell into a hole.
That was the year before.
Fractured his ankle. Yoenis Cespedes, a famous tap out, are asking for the worst tap outs of all time. Bogish, take us home.
As I like to do, I'm going with hockey. This is December 2nd, 1995 in Montreal.
Lerion up behind Lynette. Sends it out to Fedorov. Score! Sergei Fedorov!
Bingo, bango. Here comes the hook. Have mercy on me.
The dramatic music added afterwards. That was Patrick Waugh being pulled after giving up 9 goals on 26 shots. He was visibly angry throughout the game for not being pulled after allowing less than 9 goals. He comes off the ice. He walks past his hated head coach, Mario Tremblay, then walks back across his face to tell the team president, that was my last game for the team. They suspended him. Then they traded him. And he ended up winning the Stanley Cup for the Avalanche that year, so it kind of worked out for Waugh. But quitting the organization mid-second period is a pretty, pretty significant achievement.
Wow. All right, there you have it. The worst tap-outs of all time, inspired by Anthony Richardson taking himself out.
Yeah, I don't think Anthony Richardson in a Week 7 game is going to make this list.
No, we just said it's inspired by the headlines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
he's
not
on this list.
No, and I'm saying that, I'm like, I hope this doesn't make the list.
There have been worse, but are some of the worst.
The fact that it inspired that list is not a good sign for the young Colts player.
And now he's been benched, allegedly.
But not for this?
See, I think he is benched for this. He's been bad for a while.
I mean, they were probably... Shane Steichen probably wants to bench him, considering Joe Flacco gives him a better chance to win, and everybody knows that. But the GM probably wants him out there, I would think. He's like, what's the point? Right? Like,
well, is the GM going to get a chance to pick another quarterback?
Chris Ballard. I don't know. People love Chris Ballard, and he's made a lot of good picks. Their team is always good except for quarterback, and Luck got hurt. It's not his fault.
I know. It's been a revolving door there ever since. They've been looking for the answer. All right, there you go. The worst tap outs in sports, 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in. What did we miss? Maggie and Perloff. Coming up next, we've got an existential question for one NFL team.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Great Debate Wednesday. We're doing loosely inspired by Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson tapping his helmet to come out of the game because he was too tired last Sunday. the worst tap out in sports history. I went with Scottie Pippen not going on the court in the 1994 playoffs. Maggie?
I went with Roberto Duran, no Moss, in the rematch against Sugar Ray Leonard.
Okay. EJ?
The peace sign. Antonio Brown leaves Bucks Jets game mid-game shirtless.
Also the coolest tap out. Ryan?
You're in a Cespedes, MIA.
And
Andrew Bogus, he'll be back in, but he went with Patrick Waugh at his ending in Montreal, where he basically quit in the middle of the second quarter. He was then benched, then traded. Suspended, then traded. Then won the Stanley Cup.
There's been, you know, think about it, there's a lot of tap outs in sports history. The one that we talked about with Vontae Davis, the Bills cornerback, leaving at halftime of a game and retiring.
He did. He retired literally at halftime. And as a Bills fan, that was a real rock bottom low moment because the Bills have been so bad for so long, you almost couldn't blame him. And he, just up and retired at halftime. And it became sort of this focal point of Bills futility that they, to their credit, turned around with Josh Allen. But sadly, Vontae Davis passed away not too long ago. He's only 35 years old. They think that he slipped and fell coming out of a sauna. Just a really tragic thing. But we're asking you about the worst tap-outs of all time. Sean is in Oregon. Sean, who is it?
Hey, I think it's the best one of all time. And it's when it was kind of a tap-out timeout when Paul Pierce had to take a bathroom break in the finals.
Did they need the wheelchair? I don't think they needed
that
the wheelchair.
Awesome. I was like, I can't believe he's coming back. What a hero.
It was. Sean, you're right. I mean, you tap out for a bathroom break. Nature calls, man. Like, you got to do what you got to do. But it was just funny that they needed to get the wheelchair out. And he's denied this at certain points.
Yeah. I remember you guys didn't even know the story that Bobby Hurley had to tap out of the national title game.
For a bathroom?
Yeah. But he's wearing compression shorts when he ran out of the court in the middle of the game, like 8 minutes into the game, and came back with no compression shorts on. So everyone knew exactly it wasn't a hamstring injury. But listen, you're running around. It happens. To the best of us.
Lamar Jackson. He had that. It was a Monday night or Sunday night football where he had to quickly vacate the
field. I'm sure over the history of the game, there have been thousands of incidents of that Harbaugh actually had a heart issue.
No, that was
we
real.
All thought it was a bathroom break.
Totally thought it was a bathroom break. Turns out he has like
atrial fibrillation or something, which is, and he says he's fine, has the heart of an athlete, he said the next day. So
I also think the nerves have to get to you. I'm surprised, you're right. I'm surprised we don't see more dudes just like running for the bathroom. Mike is in Syracuse. Mike, the worst tap out in the history of sports is who?
Stanley Wilson on the eve of Super Bowl, 23, Cincinnati Bengals fullback went on a cocaine binge the night before, and they had no choice but to leave him off the roster.
Was that worse than the Raiders center, Barrett Robinson, or what? I might have the wrong name, who went totally missing, like missing? Barrett Robinson.
Yeah. Well, you know, you make the decision to actually put the drug in your body. Unfortunately for the Raiders, dude, he was just messed up in the head.
Yeah, see, I wonder, Mike, it's a memorable one for sure. Does addiction fall into a different kind of category? These guys were really hurting. We're talking about people just up and took themselves out of games because they were either fed up, ticked off. No, a little bit different. Although Antonio Brown is... Who knows what's going on with that dude? EJ's selection. Will's in California. Will, what's the worst tap out ever? Oh, Will just, Will was going to.
Yeah, he got scared.
Will tapped out.
Jeez.
He's going to support my pick too, which is annoying.
The Antonio Brown one, we should talk about that every day.
But it was, the only thing is the stakes were not super high, as I recall. Like, was Antonio Brown even really a thing at that point? The wheels were coming off the Antonio Brown.
It was the year after the Super Bowl, right?
Was it the year after?
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl with them, so it was the year after.
Yeah, but I felt like that was just like ending a process of him moving away from the team. I felt like that was like his ninth controversy of the year.
Do you remember?
It was awesome. Don't get me wrong. It's the funniest one by far.
He had 100 yards the week before.
Do you guys remember the fallout from that? Was not just him leaving the team. A couple things happened. One, apparently the woman he had spent the night with the night before, then ended up going on WFAN in New York and detailing their entire night together.
Remember that?
That was one other weird part of that. And then the other is Antonio Brown takes to social media to air out Tom Brady and Brady's body man, Alex Guerrero, but he didn't really come with the receipts he thought he came with, and instead it made Guerrero look great.
Yeah,
he's like, look at this bum. And Guerrero's text message is like, hey, man, I'm really sorry it didn't work out. I'm happy to provide you with a full refund. Like, it just didn't land. And he basically burned a bridge with the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, he was like, Brady's this terrible friend. And then like, text over Brady like, hey, man, like, hope you're doing okay.
Yeah. Worried about you, thinking about you. It's like, oh, yeah, what a monster. No, Brady seems like the best guy ever. And so did Guerrero. That was a bizarre one. We don't talk about it enough.
Yeah, I didn't love, if I was Brady, I would not have brought Antonio Brown into the fold. Like, what did he expect was going to happen? Brown was already
with his house.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a bizarre move by Tom Brady because we already knew Antonio Brown was suffering with something.
He's out there, man.
By the way, I watched the new Aaron Hernandez drop last night. Watched it live.
Wait, there's another one?
No, the series. It's 9-part series.
I just assumed it was a movie.
No. It's on FX. It's the story of Aaron Hernandez. And I got to tell you, like, at first it was a joke. I'm now super into it. So Odin Lloyd showed up. It is the saddest story what happened to that guy. So he was this nice guy. Anyway, you guys know what happened. But FX is doing the story of Aaron Hernandez. And it went from super funny and weird to, like, tragic. And the guy who plays Aaron Hernandez has now totally won me over.
Really?
Yeah, he is really good.
Odin Lloyd was the construction worker who happened to cross paths with Hernandez?
And he was a part-time football player. And according to the movie on FX, he was a very nice guy who, for some reason, just got caught up in this Aaron Hernandez mess. Aaron Hernandez liked the PCP, according to the show as well.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know how we got onto that. Because, yeah, but Antonio Brown, like, Tom Brady should have known. If you bring Antonio Brown in, like, I think Tom Brady had the savior complex because Brown was already saying completely outrageous things. That's why I'm saying, EJ, it felt like it was just a matter of time before he took his clothes off in the middle of the football game and ran out.
And ran away. Yeah, how did we all not see that coming? Bogus is here. Speaking of true crime, Bogues, you said the last 2 days you've been out sick, unfortunately, but you're back. We're thrilled to have you, but you've just been home binging true crime documentaries.
Yeah.
Well, what do you got?
I got the new Zodiac Killer thing on Netflix.
I know so much about the Zodiac Killer, I didn't even need to watch this.
Oh, sorry. Which then led me to a show.
Smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, that was only okay, but I'm a sucker for any of these shows. It's called, like, Missing Dead or Alive, about a South Carolina missing persons investigative team.
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Have you watched the one where the woman's on the dating game with the serial killer?
So I actually just hit play on that this morning on the train with Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a true story.
Wait, what's this one? Explain it.
So it's based on true events, but Anna Kendrick goes on the dating game, and one of the three bachelors is a serial killer.
It's that game show, The Dating Game, where a woman basically has to choose between three bachelors.
Yeah, Chuck Woolery or whatever. Was he that guy?
That's not the name of the guy in the
show. That's Love Connection?
Yeah, but I don't know if the name of the host in the movie is his actual name. It's Burke. His last name is Burke.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, one of the three guys was a serial killer, and that really happened.
Yeah, being a woman sometimes is a real drag, guys. go on a dating show, think you're meeting Mr. Right. It turns out that he's a serial killer. We can't relax for a second.
That's one thing about The Bachelor. You don't get the serial killer types.
Background checks.
You get guys who are just there for the Instagram love.
They're psychos, just in a very different way.
Or you get the guys who are just because they want to go on that thing that goes over the pool.
Zip line.
I'm just here for the zip line. That's from a comedy show, Tim Robinson. Anyway, all right, Tim, whatever.
Tim Robinson.
Yeah.
Well, get this, Maggie. She goes on the dating game because she's an actress that can't book a job, partly because she won't take her clothes off on film. So the gross 70s male movie producers won't hire her.
Great, yeah, because she won't do Last Tango in Paris, and now all of a sudden she can't get a gig.
Right.
More things change, guys, the more they stay the same.
So, Maggie, you don't waste time watching these true crime documentaries.
No, I don't want to be going down the rabbit hole of watching basically all these women get murdered. Or nearly
well,
murdered.
The Zodiac is all mostly a lot of women. You're right.
There, yeah. It's always, spoiler, yeah. It's always a lot of women. So, no, I don't find that to be a good time.
What about a cult documentary?
I'm not into that. I saw the one that your uncle was in.
The Wild Wild what? West?
Yeah.
That felt like a joke, but it was real.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Parlop, it's your story.
Well, yeah, my uncle, well, he followed the Bhagwan Rajneesh, which was a great Netflix documentary about a cult in Oregon in the 70s.
And he got out of it.
Yeah. Everybody got out of it because the Bhagwan disbanded.
So this
by the way, people in our Oregon audience know all about this.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it was a really well-done documentary. I think won some awards.
Yeah.
And they were nuts.
Yeah. There was a documentary recently about that cult in upstate New York that had the actress from the CW who was the leader.
Yeah, that was the actress from Smallville.
Yeah, that's a good cult documentary too.
For some reason, the cult stuff doesn't do it for me. The cult stuff and the true crime stuff doesn't do it for me.
I think you're in a minority on this. I think everybody loves these things.
And I think women watch it a lot, which is funny because I'm like, really? You want to watch like something that you know kind of ends badly for another woman. But no, I told you guys, I got briefly into the JFK stuff and now I'm off of that. And I just basically watch sports now.
My favorite line about documentaries, and this is a joke that's told a lot, the Shane Gillis joke about how if you find yourself watching a World War II documentary, you're halfway on your way to being a Republican. but nothing to do with politics. I just think it's funny. Like at a certain point in my life, I'm like, huh, what was Patton's plan for this invasion? I think I'll click on this. I don't know when it changed.
Ooh, it's in color now.
I don't know when it changed. It might have been when I turned 40. I don't know. But I was like, whoa, World War II. Yeah, it's in color now. Yes. And I remember Tony Soprano and the Sopranos used to sit around and watch those World War II documentaries. I thought, that's boring. But now I totally get it.
It is fascinating. And some shades of it coming back around. Bogush, you have headlines for us.
And they're sponsored by LinkedIn. Let LinkedIn's deep candidate insights help you find your next Pro Bowl hire today. To post your job for free, go to linkedin.com/recruitment. Terms and conditions apply. As you may have heard by now, Anthony Volpe grew up a Yankee fan. He was at the parade the last time they won the World Series. So last night's go-ahead grand slam in Game 4 with their season on the line was pretty cool.
I think I pretty much blacked out as soon as I saw it go over the fence, but no, we just want to keep putting pressure on them, and I think everyone had confidence in everyone in the lineup that someone was going to get the big hit. And we've been having such good at-bats and putting such good swings on the ball that, I mean, we just felt like it was only a matter of time.
The Yanks never trailed again, but couldn't relax until a 5-run eighth. They won Game 4, 11-4, after scoring just 7 runs total while losing the first 3 games of the Fall Classic. Game 5, 8:08 Eastern tonight. Gerrit Cole, Jack Flaherty back on the mound like Game 1. The Dodgers still in control of this series, but could probably use a big play from Shohei Ohtani. Dave Roberts says that's possible despite Ohtani's shoulder injury.
We've asked him many times over, and it's not impeding. He doesn't feel it. I just think it's just the chase. You see it. I mean, there's some big at-bats that could result in a walk and not taking the base, and chasing is hasn't been good.
As you guys said, it's hard to say that it's not bothering him when he basically holds it while running.
Yeah.
His left arm.
It's crazy. And the fact that he still has to slide, like he still has to execute the play while holding onto his shoulder, like he's holding it in place.
It's insane.
But if they didn't sit him last night, they're certainly not sitting him tonight.
He looked much more comfortable swinging for the most part yesterday. Like the last game, game 3 was terrible. They kind of need him now, right? I mean, but he has not produced at a high level. It's been all Freddie Freeman.
He also was not having a tremendous postseason to begin with.
He's been good with runners on base, though. He had that gaudy stat.
Right, that crazy stat where he was like 0 for 19 with nobody on base and then 6 for 8 with runners in scoring position. He walked a lot against the Mets, but like he has not been lights out. And he's 2 for 15 in the series, which includes 2 fully healthy games. Because he was fine for game one and all of game two, basically.
Well, I think also he's drawing a lot of walks because when you're leading off and you're leading off the game, that's obviously, you just pitch around him, you know? Yeah. Don't give him anything. And so that's like a catch-22.
The 121-loss White Sox have reportedly picked Will Venable as their new manager. He's been the associate manager under friend of the show Bruce Bochy for the last 2 years in Texas. Yesterday's NFL headlines included the Colts benching Anthony Richardson, Stephon Diggs' torn ACL, and the Vikings trading for Jaguars left tackle Cam Robinson. He will replace the injured Christian Darrisaw. Lonzo Ball hurt again. The Bulls guard sprained his right wrist Monday night in Memphis, and just his third game back from missing 2+ years of those knee issues. He'll be reevaluated in 10 days. No Steph Curry or Andrew Wiggins for the Warriors last night. They fell into a 20-point hole to the Pelicans and then won 124-106 with Buddy Hield scoring 28. Domantas Sabonis had 28 plus 11 boards in the Kings 113-106 win or 96 win in Sacramento. That doesn't make sense. The Kings won in Utah. Kyrie Irving scored 35 in the Mavs 120-114 win in Minnesota. And Nikola Jokic had 28, 18 boards, 16 assists in the Nuggets 144-139 win in OT. And our San Jose Sharks are now red hot, guys. Back-to-back wins, 4-2 over the Kings last night. That 9-game winless streak to open the season is now distant history.
I think it's because we abandoned them.
Yeah.
We tapped out.
And now we're back.
I got a million-dollar idea for a podcast, by the way. And I'm sorry, Maggie, you're going to be left out of this one.
It's okay.
It's me and Bogish are going to do a true crime podcast about true crime documentaries. Or a true crime. So basically, because true crime podcasts are a big deal and true crime documentaries. So we just break down the documentary we saw last night on Netflix.
Oh, I mean,
no investigative reporting.
It's a great idea.
I don't know who would listen to
this. A coffee table book about coffee tables. I love
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
To be honest, though, I'm not gonna listen.
No, definitely not.
Not surprising.
That's why you're not invited. Otherwise, you'd be welcome.
Can't even text us when we're dying. Of course, we're not gonna listen to an entire podcast.
That's a big heaping dose of I don't give up.
Yeah. Plus, you gotta rewatch Raiders Steelers for a second time.
Don't be hating on the Andrew and Andrew true crime podcast about other true crime podcasts.
Wow, that really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Honestly, can't wait.
Andrew,
put that out.
True crime podcast about other true crime podcasts.
I tell you, that's going to be a rev share. I don't know if they're going to give you anything up front. But live your dreams, guys. And it's like a side hustle, and you're already watching the docs. You might as well turn it into something productive.
Can you imagine anything more boring than hearing people talk about the document? Like, it's hard enough to get into the documentary.
I think this would be a hit.
I'd be stunned if this was a new idea. Like, this has to exist somehow already.
But why would you? No. A true crime podcast, you actually have to do some investigative work and, like, go to the place and pull up the files or something.
Yeah.
No, but you're not saying you're doing that. You're just talking about the people who did all the legwork.
So
poking holes in their, I don't know, like,
so
methodology.
On today's podcast, we're going to break down the Boston Globe podcast on Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a review.
I think you guys should get started today. I don't know what's holding you back. We got a studio over there.
Yeah, we'll have a scale of Andrews to rate the shows.
Six Andrews.
Yeah.
All right.
How many Andrews does this get? They gave it 4 Drews, 2 Andys.
Oof. Sounds like a good one.
The Rotten Tomato score.
All right.
The Andy score.
Want a producing credit at least? We'll give you that.
No, she's out.
I'm out.
She's out.
All right, fine. It's going to be the next Smartless.
This is like the person who, when the whole office goes in on the lottery ticket for the Powerball, and I'm like, no, I'm good. And then you guys hit it rich, and you're just getting $100 million deal from Spotify. And I'm like, wait a minute, who's the biggest challenger to the Lions in the NFC? Like, Maggie, pat me on the head. You little poor person. You should have come with us to the Andy and Andy pod.
The Andy and Andy true crime podcast about other true crime podcasts.
Just a sensation. You guys are in Times Square taking pictures. I'm like in the side, like, hey, remember me?
Did you see what Deion Sanders did yesterday?
Like, hey, Aaron Rodgers said something silly.
WTF.
No. Sorry, you're over there counting your money. Thank you, folks. 855-212-4227. On second thought, maybe I will get in on that.
Yeah. Today, Keith Morrison talks about the 2016 episode of Dateline.
With Andy and Andy.
Andy and Andy.
It's a 4 Andy episode.
Why was he walking with a suitcase at 3 in the afternoon?
It's always broad daylight. All right. Broad daylight.
He said, stand over here next to this cliff to take the picture. She should have thought twice about that selfie.
Yep. Man. All right, I'm in. 855-212-4227. Don't move. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. On Wednesdays, we do something called the Great Debate. So we're asking, what's the worst tap out in the history of sports? This isn't inspired by Anthony Richardson. By no means is he the worst, but got us thinking about other people. Perloff said Scottie Pippen. I said Roberto Duran. EJ has Antonio Brown. Ryan said Yoenis Cespedes. And Bogish said Patrick Waugh in Montreal. So keep them coming. Let's go to David, who's in Maryland, big Dodger fan. How you feeling about tonight, David?
Well, I'm not really a Dodger fan, you know, but I'm kind of disappointed that MLB, you know, didn't make the decision to make the Yankees forfeit the game yesterday, because that was totally disgraceful what happened in the first inning. And don't get me wrong, I think, you know, fans, you know, do have a right to, you know, to shout and, for their team and, you know, root for their team. But I think it went too far last night, and yeah. I think MLB done them a disservice, too, because they didn't even punish the fans. They let the game keep going on. It should have been an automatic win for the Dodgers, and I relate to this.
Wait,
and actually,
hold on. Yeah. Wait, David, I understand what you're saying, but you realize to make the Yankees forfeit because some idiot in the front row trying to take the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove would be insane.
Well, no, what? That would punish the fans, and that would make them think twice about doing some stupid, idiotic stuff.
I don't, like David, I said, you can't hand the World Series to the Dodgers because of this.
I mean, it's an unfortunate situation, and I think, you know, like I said, I'm all for rooting for your team. Don't get me wrong. When I go to the games, I root for them, too, and I get hollering and everything. But, I mean, this is my opinion. I think it went too far last night. Everybody has a different opinion, and you have a right to your opinion, you know.
Yeah, but David, I'm sorry, but your opinion is wild. I've never heard anything like
fine.
That.
And that's fine. I mean, some people don't see nothing wrong with what the guy did. So, I mean.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. David, thank you so much for the call.
By the way, also had a little Mel Kiper in his voice.
This Maryland. Is our guy who sounds like Mel Kiper. Yeah. He called the other day.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, if they had forfeited the game, the Dodgers going to run on and celebrate because it was a clinching game.
Can't do that.
No, but I think David misinterpreted. Like, a lot of people are taking this very seriously. Like,
nobody thinks this is okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, except apparently maybe the Yankees.
You know, well, actually, I don't say nobody. The person in some circles is kind of being treated a little bit like a cult hero, and I don't love that. This person should not be put on a pedestal.
I think there are some people who think this is kind of cool. It shows passion from the fans.
According to ESPN, who found the guy after he did get removed from the game, they said that he said, if anyone comes in our area, we're going to D him up. D stands for dummy for this guy, not defense. What are you even talking about? Did you get lost on the way to MetLife Stadium? What is the matter with you? And by the way, you're not playing. I get it. You got a front row seat. Good for you. You're a season ticket holder. Awesome. You got money. Good for you, or wish you all the best. You don't get to interfere like that.
Dope. I mean, it's beyond dope, though. It almost feels like that's too nice a word. It's not just stupidity. It's
entitlement.
It's just ridiculous. I don't know what to say. Like, he should be banned for life, obviously.
I don't think that's happening. In fact, because he's a season ticket holder.
What's that have to do with anything?
Well, this is what I was talking about this earlier, that he could get back into the game and that the Yankees haven't given an official statement. Ryan shaking his head.
Horrible.
It's just bad.
Get the elbow next.
Would you have forfeited the game immediately, Ryan?
You know.
No comment. See you guys on the phone. 855-212-4227. Again, the worst tap outs in the history of sports, people who just straight up quit. We also have the new most fascinating man in sports. We'll get to that.